Tonight's study is 2 Kings, the whole chapter 11, verses 1 to 21. And it's titled, "For You Are Dead, and Your Life Is Hid with Christ in God," Colossians 3, verse 3. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is a thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand, and he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain, and be you with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in." The captains over the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, "God save the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason." But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her, kill with the sword, for the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Mattan the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign. King Joash is only 7 years old when he begins to reign over Judah, and he reigned 40 years. This youngest king to ever rule over Judah is a symbol of the man-child we read of in Revelation 12:5 and Revelation 12:13, which child is a symbol of the elect. who are kind of first fruits, it says in James 1:18, whose reign while we are on the earth will be over all the kingdoms of this world. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The 40-year reign of King Jehoash is a symbol of that time of rulership during the symbolic 1,000-year reign of the saints, who will rule over the whole, that's the four, flesh, which is 10, which equals 40. 4 times 10 is 40, of humanity. And at the end of that physical reign, all flesh will be destroyed. Another part of the significance of the number 40 connected to trials, which trials God uses to put off our carnal, fleshly thinking. And there's the link to the number of trials that, if you want to go to that, which talks about 40. Ezekiel 29:12, and I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. So there's your connection to Egypt, to the world, to flesh, 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will disperse them through the countries. Hebrews 3:17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Again, you see the parallel there with the type and shadow of the 1,000-year reign and the reign during the 1,000 years in the wilderness. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Chapter 12 of Revelation parallels very well with King Jehoash, who typifies the man-child. The comparisons are many, and they all point to the reality that those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, if you recall at the end, it talks about the testimony of the king of Revelation 12:17, are also those who were begotten of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, of James 1:18. One very strikingly obvious comparison with King Jehoash and the elect bride of Christ is how he was hidden as we are hidden in the Lord. And that's why we have that title. Only to be revealed when the seventh trumpet sounds and we are all changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. The young king began his reign at 7 years old, which is a symbol of the arrival of God's kings and priests on this earth, who have been hidden from the world until this time. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the seventh angel sounded, Revelation 11:15, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The first verse, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. In this first verse, we see Athaliah taking vengeance on all the seed royal for the death of her son, which symbolizes for us the wrath of Satan through Babylon and the churches of this world against the body of Christ, which is what Acts 4:26-29 is about. Another story in God's word that parallels this wrath against the man-child is found in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, where Herod killed all the children 2 years and younger. However, Christ was protected by Joseph and Mary. Moses was also hidden, also typical of the elect, as was Joash. All the seed royal represents the many called, and the not chosen of the royal seed typified by Joash, who is a type of the elect. In Romans 11:16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy, also holy. And if the root be holy, so the branches. And in time, of course, that's exactly right, because all men will be sanctified in time. But he starts off with those who come out of that royal seat. Many are called, but few are chosen, the eclectos. Acts 4, verses 26 to 29, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child, Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Matthew 2, verse 16, then Herod, typifying Satan's spirit, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, typifying God's elect, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And in regard to the wrath, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Spiritually, we are in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, those who are not in that heavenly relationship. Yet they will be, but they're not. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Mm-hmm. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Hebrews 11:23. Not afraid of Satan, in other words, because God, he who is in us, is greater than him who is in the world. And those 3 years represent, of course, well, we'll read it. For many are called, but few are chosen. Moses being hid for 3 months is a parallel thought to Joash being hid for 6 years. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord, 6 years. 3 months represents the time of the elect's judgment while in these vessels of clay, our time of being tormented. And the 6 years is also a witness to the same point that we must be hid in the Lord for 6 years, which is the number of men, and be revealed on the seventh year as the man-child of God who is brought forth to rule. So those 6 years are the time of earnest. That's what that represents, that 6 years when he's hidden. That's when we have the spirit in earnest. We have to endure unto the end. And if we are God's, we're bound to the altar for that reason. When we die daily in the Lord, we are telling that fox Herod within our deceitful and desperately wicked hearts that we must go unto perfection or completion, 7, on the third day through Christ. So 2 times 3, there's the process there of judgment, which equals 6. That's Joash. That's the time he was hidden. And 3 months, Moses as a child hidden. After we have been judged in this life, that's what happens. So let me read that again. We're telling that fox, when we die daily in the Lord, we're telling that fox Herod within our deceitful and desperately wicked hearts that we must go unto perfection or completion on the third day through Christ after we have been judged in this life. When we read the passages about this soon-to-be boy king, it is most encouraging to see how protected he was prior to his anointing, and after it as well, demonstrating God's love and care for the elect from the foundation of the world. Luke 12, verse 32, and he said unto them, another verse there. I wanted the one that says, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I'm going to fix that. But that was the verse that I wanted to put right there. Because that is the point, that this story is demonstrating through this young boy who was protected those 6 years. And then after his coronation, you see more of the idea of how the Lord protects us. And that's when the symbolism becomes very clear, how God protects us in the body of Christ. There it is. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's okay. Verses 2 and 3. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Ataliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Ataliah did reign over the land. It is Jehosheba, who is the aunt of Joash, who God used to hide him from Ahaziah. This event is described with these words, and stole him from among the king's sons slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Ataliah, so that he was not slain. Showing us that Jehosheba, Jehovah's oath, rather, is a type of the church, which is the bride and the body of Christ, who comes upon us like a thief. Now, we think of Christ coming upon us like a thief, but we are Christ and Christ is in us. So when we come into the truth, Christ comes upon us through the church like a thief, who comes upon us like a thief in the night, and whom God has promised or sworn that he will use to save his elect first in this life. 2 Chronicles 22:11, and Jehoshabeth, Jehovah's oath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, and that's significant, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Ataliah, so that she slew him not. You shall take, and this is the point of this story, this section, because it's a relationship of Christ and the bride. So you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two sides posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. That's being hid in the Lord. This is another way of saying the same thing. For God will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And so there's that word. It's by an oath, Jehosheba, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of Christ for my flesh, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And 1 Thessalonians 5:2, where it says Christ comes as a thief in the night, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which you gave me have I lost none. It is in her bedchamber where Jehosheba's, where Joash and his nurse are hid, so that he is not slain. The bedchamber represents where we rest in the Lord and are protected. Him and his nurse in the bedchamber from Ataliah, so that he was not slain. Even while we are in the midst of Babylon, in the world, but not of it. John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:9-11, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you needs go out of the world. Become a monk, is what he's saying. Don't. We have to be in the world, but not of it. It's integral to our growth. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, spiritual fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. And that's all spiritually, no, not to eat. Yes, don't separate yourself from that person. And there's ways that we know that happens. God is using that as an occasion against their flesh if they're going to be pricked by your spirit toward them, your unwillingness to, you know, have fellowship and be with that person. If they've been put through that process of Matthew 18 that we talked about, then they're not going to be in our midst anyways. But then when they're not in our midst, when they've called themselves a brother, then we cut ourselves off. And if to do otherwise is to be disobedient, of course. The nurse who accompanies Joash can also be seen as a type of the church, where every nurturing joint contributes in the forming of the life of Christ in each other. The nurse protects and cares for the child as we do for each other. And this love and care that we have for each other is what strengthens us as we bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ that witnesses to our discipleship in Him. If not for our coming together often, where we partake of our communion in the Lord, symbolized by the blood that is struck on the lintel, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, we would be slain of the devil and sifted like wheat. It is through the faith of Christ, working in the faith-filled prayers of His saints that are fervent and continual, that we will be able to overcome the wicked one and keep ourselves unspotted from this world, enduring to the end. And I hope that I'm translating this with the spirit that God, I believe, has given me to say this to us with the utmost of knowing this is the Lord, this is the work of the Lord. And I know we know that. So this is such an important point because, yes, the world around us is going to be slain. Our old man is going to be slain. But the Lord's going to do it. He's going to protect us and He's going to do this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And that's, of course, how we do that, by coming out of the world and be strengthened through Christ and His body. It is by God's power and might that this work of faith in His little flock, who are hid in the house of God for 6 years, will be finished. And this is all happening throughout our lives, while Satan continues to be the god of this world, ruling over mankind, symbolized by Italia, who did reign over the land for those 6 years, which is the number for mankind. Christ uses Italia, who is a woman, as a type of Satan, who rules over the flesh of mankind for 6 years. And that's interesting, right? Because why is she ruling over the earth as a woman? During God's reign over flesh, during the thousand-year reign, Christ is the head, and the body of Christ is the woman directed by the head, which is, of course, the church. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 to 7. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house, and a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king." So this is just so instructive for us as a body of Christ. What do? This very influential priest of Judah by the name of Jehoiada typifies Christ, who at the appointed time of God sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. This part of the story is a parable of how Christ builds his church, using those who are sent. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you," to do this work that began on Pentecost. The apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers of Ephesians 4:13 is what is required for us to grow and mature and be shown the King's Son, who, when we see him face to face, we know him as a result of coming into the unity of the faith. It is what Christ does through us that will bring about the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the commands that Jehoiada gives to the keepers of the watch of the king's house, this is the point, is symbolic language telling us of the progression of judgment, the thirds, that we must go through in order to come into this unity of faith, this mature mind of Christ. So that's why we have these thirds, and I'm sure we know that. It is a third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house, the third part symbolizing the judgment upon the house of God that leads to maturity in him, in his house, in his temple that we are. Also, there's a third shall be at the gate of Sir, which means degenerate, turn aside, deteriorated, which is what we're watching against. We're looking in that sense. We're asking the Lord to help us to protect always the body of Christ. And a third part at the gate behind the guard, so shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. These thirds being spoken of remind us that our judgment is going to be progressive and ongoing, so that the house be not broken down. And that's the interesting point. It sounds counterintuitive, but when we're being judged and we're being chastened of the Lord, we're protecting the house. We're going through that process for that reason, so that God wakes us up and strengthens us and heals us through that process. It's through much tribulation, and that's why this is a confirming thing. It says confirming the souls of the disciples. This is good news, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. These areas represent points of entry, those areas that we're talking about, of sin that can enter into our life. And yet, through Christ, we will be more than conquerors and rule over sin that will have that will no longer have dominion over us. Genesis 4, verse 7. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And of course, if we do well, it's because it's Christ working that within us, and we're accepted through him. And that's the point. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. All members of the whole body of Christ are all called to do our part as shepherds who look well to his little flock at the gate of Sir and at the gate behind the guard. As God teaches us through these captains and guards who were rulers over hundreds, what is required of us to overcome our carnal, fleshly nature typified by the hundreds. The whole world is in covenant with God, but it is only those who are being judged of the Lord today who will benefit from the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards. And we just talked about that. All of the ruling that we do with a rod of iron, at the end of the day, it doesn't benefit anyone if the Lord is not converting that heart. So the rulers over hundreds with the captains of the guard that represent the judgment that brings us into the house of the Lord, where through Christ we are able to experience this new covenant agreement or oath with him that makes it possible for us to be shown the King's Son in each other. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king, also represents the elect. So this is the other, this is the next thing that's mentioned, also represents the elect who go forth on the Sabbath, meaning in Christ, who is our Sabbath rest, and the true witness within us, two parts, who gives us the power and ability to keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. So both to will and to do. So the Lord, if the Lord builds a house, it's going to stand. If God's working this work in us, he's going to protect the bride. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom because he knows he can give it to us and he can protect us. He teaches us to make war against our number one enemy, who we see in the mirror every day, which is, and finally, those different positions that keep guard of the house of the Lord, the three thirds above, plus the two parts, add up to five, telling us that it is by grace through faith that we will be saved and able to endure unto the end of this life. Psalms 18, verse 34 and 35, he teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. You have also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verses 8, 9, and 10. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand, and he that comes within the ranges, let him be slain, and be you with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. You see that coming in, going out, and in other words, all that we're doing is in the Lord, and the Lord doing it within us. And the captains, and to the captains over hundreds did the priests give David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guards stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. Jehoiada represents Christ, again, our high priest, who gives us our commands in this life as we go about wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age. This section of Kings shows us what is required to battle for the life of Christ within us, typified by Joash. And that's a big key point to this section of Kings. This section also demonstrates how we must always be ready to do battle against sin when it is near the gate, which we know it always is. What we are being shown in these verses is what the body of Christ must do to protect Christ in each other. And the story of Gideon also reminds us of this readiness of mind, which is a gift that comes from God and has nothing to do with our own might or power. So that's encouraging. It's not like, oh, how are we going to do that? We're not. The Lord is going to do it, but he's going to put us in remembrance that we're in a battle. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place, from 32,000 originally called. See verse 3, not sure. So notice 300 men, again, that's the process of judgment, and that's how we gain the victory, through the judgment that's upon the house of God. Zechariah 4, 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So what must we do to protect our crown of life, which is what a revelation says, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. So what must we do to protect our crown of life is what is in discussion here. King Joash representing our hope of glory within. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. and be you with the king as he goeth out and as he comes in. Any false doctrine that comes within the ranges, let him be slain. Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, the whole body. Our love for each other is demonstrated by our obedience to God's commands, which tells us to go to your brother alone and tell him his fault between you and him. That is another way in which we protect our many members represented by King Joash. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord cometh, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Obedience to the commandments of God is the second point being stressed in regard to overcoming. And it took all the captains over the hundreds to accomplish that, what Jehoiada the priest commanded. So it took those hundred. The words coming in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath is again typical of how it is only through Christ, who is our Sabbath rest, that we can be obediently directed through this whole life and be subject to one another as unto Christ, who is typified by Jehoiada. Yahweh, Psalms 121, verses 5 to 8 in the CLV, is your guardian. Yahweh is your protecting shade at your right hand. By day the sun shall not smite you, nor the moon by night. Yahweh himself shall guard you from all peril. He shall guard your soul. Yahweh himself shall guard your going forth and your coming in, henceforth and unto the eon. Hebrews 4, verse 8 to 10. If Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Ephesians 5, verse 21 to 28, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So obviously, this is how the bride is going to be made ready. And this is a direct reference to that thought, that this is how God is making the bride ready, through that submission to Christ. We're subject unto one another as unto Christ. He goes on to say, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Because we are one, and we are one with the Lord. He that loves his wife loves himself. These two verses also have to do with 2 Kings 11, verses 10 and 11, have to do with protecting Christ's spirit, not quenching it, but rather stirring it up and being on alert always as the body of Christ. We protect the body together with the word that we all stand on and use to defend any that would come up against us. This being a spiritual statement for God's elect today, but a literal readiness that was required of the captains over hundreds. Did the priests give King David spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord? The spears and shield both represent the word of God. The shield is for defense, and the spear for when we need to overcome an enemy within or without that would come up against the temple of the Lord, which temple we all are. Because of Baal worship at Peor, we read of these acts of Phinehas, which stayed the plague of Israel. It's an incredible story. I don't know if we would read that. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Of course, we take that inwardly, but that's what God calls us to do, to be so diligent. 1 Samuel 17:47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 11 explains, when we fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, we do it together as the body of Christ. And every man must have his spiritual weapons in his hands, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. Our best place of protection and power is amongst the body, in the temple, round about the king, which symbolizes our being round about Christ, having been raised in heavenly places together. The right corner and the left corner are referencing the power of Christ on the right, and his elect and his Christ, the left, which is a positive use of left given to those who have been given power. A Psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. The cornerstones, the right corner and the left corner are referencing the power of Christ and his Christ, who is the cornerstone in our life, who keeps us strong and bound to the altar, which is the cross. The cornerstones are by the altar and the temple. For that reason, to show us, to remind us of that point, where we present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God and partake of Christ's life. God is the Lord, which has showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Verse 12, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and he made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. The testimony was given to the king's son, and they put the crown upon him, both of which are symbols of what must happen to God's elect if we are to be made kings and priests. We are anointed when we are blessed to read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecy of his words. And that is what this testimony, along with the crown upon him, represents. It also typifies the unction or anointing that God's elect have been given to know the truth, to have eyes to see and ears to hear, as Christ put it, these mysteries that are hidden from the world today in Christ. So they're all hidden with us, like that child. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. After this coronation, the people clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Our joy cannot be taken away from us if God is saving the king as his workmanship in this age, which we believe that Christ is in us, that king is within us, and he is being protected. We will suffer through this life and be able to endure that suffering through Christ. And in the morning, there will be great rejoicing, inexpressible joy, which is being expressed with this sentence. They clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Yes, please, God save the king within each of us. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a royal generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. John 16, verse 22, and you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. 1 Peter 1, verse 7 to 9, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. They said therefore unto him, what sign showeth you then that we may see and believe thee? What do you work? And I think we're in the CLV there, but Christ asking, when they were asking, what do we have to do the work? He said, you have to believe. That's how we do the work. So we have to be granted the faith, or else the work's not going to get done. The building won't be built without Christ building it. Psalms 30, verse 5, for his anger endures but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verses 13 and 14, and when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was in the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. At the return of Christ, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens. There's the negative hiding, right? Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, in their own pride, in their own accomplishments, and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Athaliah will be coming into this realization of who she is and who is really standing and able to stand in the Lord, symbolized by the pillars. The king stood by a pillar. Standing by the pillars symbolizes our safety in the church as we look to the leadership that God ordains to keep us strong and standing in the Lord. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 and Revelation 3:12. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. So we're in the process of becoming those pillars, stronger and stronger as Christ increases, because he's the pillar and we decrease. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. She heard the noise of the guard of the people, and she came to the people into the temple of the Lord to witness what God had started and finished during her evil six-year reign over the kingdom of Judah. What she saw, and when she looked, this is what she saw, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And what she did, and Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. The question that comes to mind is, who shall be able to stand when Christ returns? The answer, of course, is that it will be those who have inwardly heard the trumpeters by the king and have rent their hearts and not their garments, having been crushed under the stone that was rejected by the builders. Joel 2, verse 13, and rend your heart, crushed by Christ, by judgment, in other words, and not your garments, crushed but not changed inwardly through that experience. and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So there's a ripping there, but it's not the ripping of the veil, and that's the point I'm trying to make there. She tears her veil, which symbolizes her flesh, but it doesn't change her. It's not the judgment that's upon the body of Christ, which is changing us. Acts 4:11. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner in regard to those two corners that we talked about, left and right. These verses in Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17, represent the time when the world will begin to understand the great gulf that is between Christ and themselves. And it's clear, the Bible shows that it becomes very apparent. God's elect will have already been crushed under those rocks that represent his judgment and wrath that have already been poured out upon our old man. Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. I read this already. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Matthew 21:44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's who's going to be able to stand, those who go through that judgment. Revelation 15:8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. That's those trumpets. And why, you know, he starts to reign at 7 years old. Because it typifies, of course, our having gone through those trumpets, experienced the seals, the vials, and I can't remember what the three are, but we'll talk about that after. It'll come to me. 2 Kings 11, verse 15. But Jehoiada, the priest, commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. Vengeance is God's, and it is being executed through Jehoiada, who is a type of Christ, who will command his people during the thousand-year reign to rule with a rod of iron, expressed with this sentence, have her forth without the ranges, and let him followeth her, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be, just a sec there, seals, vials, and trumpets. Thank you. Whoever sent that, thank you. So have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord, typify the elect during the thousand-year reign, who know that any death during this period will not be in the Lord. And therefore, in this story, it reads, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord, which is where the prophets of God would die, symbolizing our baptism into Christ's death. That cannot happen until the lake of fire for the rest of humanity. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kill the prophets and stone them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. And of course, Christ is, it's a lamentation, but he knows that's the nature of our flesh. We won't naturally go unless the Father drags us to Christ. We're not going. Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 16, we're almost there. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. This verse tells us that God is going to clear the land of all evil first within his people, who will only learn to run with horses after the land is cleansed of all its idolatry and corruption. Atalia went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, meaning in this case, she was operating in her flesh, being controlled by powers and principalities in the heavens, which is where we all start, not able to run with horses, not able to have dominion over those powers and principalities. The Lord will take vengeance on Babylon, and that will come by way of the judgment when the world begins to come into the king's house. This is where our old man is slain of the Lord, and there was she slain. Jeremiah 12, verse 5, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And of course, we can't without Christ. And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? And Genesis 49, verse 16 and 17, Dan, which means judge, shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. That's interesting, like a type of the elect, Dan, and the work that God will do through us, and causing the world to stumble and fall back when the word is preached and making them realize the error. But that doesn't mean that the heart's changed, even though you know the truth. The truth has to be in the heart. The conversion has to come from God. 2 Kings 11, verses 17 to 21. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Madan, the priest of the Baal, the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord, and he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard, same thing they talked about earlier, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Atalia with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign. So you can see all that imagery of how Babylon will fall when that king, which represents the elect, is resurrected in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And it will take time, but it will fall. It'll take as much time as God wants it to take, but it's never going to rise. It's going to be a steady decline and a tearing down of Babylon. Everything is done by the church, which is the body of Christ. And Jehoiada making a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people, is symbolic of this relationship that the Lord will accomplish with all the world by the church, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, Ephesians 3:10. So it's all done by the church through the body of Christ. The end result of this relationship is then described for us in detail as it typifies the world putting an end to all the idol worship that fills the earth today. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Jehoiada taking the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land symbolizes Christ overcoming within us first, all the giants of the land removed, so that Christ sits on the throne of our hearts. And secondly, it also symbolizes Christ taking the church to accomplish his purpose during the 1,000-year reign, which will be to come in the name of the Lord, to speak of our great King and fill the earth full of his knowledge and judgments so that men can learn righteousness. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. So, you know, we fill the world. It's a baptism of water, but it's not a baptism of fire, because there's no change happening. There's no fiery trials. There's no conversion. Jeremiah 3:17, at that time, They shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So we will be God's judges, as priests and kings that will be in the earth. But because he's granted us to have this desire to seek him early as first fruits, we'll be raised for that purpose to fill the earth full of the knowledge of God. And of course, it will culminate in the lake of fire, where that's where the seed will be brought forth and the truth will be purified and through that experience. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 14. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. The fruit of having Christ rule and reign through his elect during the thousand-year reign will be undeniably great, symbolized by this sentence. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Ataliah with the sword beside the king's house. And beside the elect, we're seeing all of these actions happening, many wonderful works. There is an acknowledging going on of all the wrongs that Babylon has done, and her time of falling is come, and great will be the fall of it, typified by the death of Ataliah, with the sword beside the king's house. Take the word beside out, and the picture becomes clear that Ataliah and all of Babylon's wicked ways will be purged and destroyed with the sword, the king's house. In other words, we are God's sword, his threshing instrument, and the king's house, his inheritance that will be used to judge the world. Nothing that is hidden will not be revealed, both negatively and positively. The world will come to see God's workmanship in full force and how Christ was hidden from them, just as the elect will expose all the lies and hidden evils of this world, which purging will culminate in the lake of fire. We are blessed to be hid in Christ now, and to know that his judgments upon us is the great blessing we are receiving today. Romans 2, 4, might as well read that. It just says not to despise God's goodness that leads us unto repentance. That's the word. So that's the blessing we're receiving today that will make the bride ready and able to judge the rest of the world in the great white throne judgment. For nothing is in secret. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You know, all of these different, we talked about that the other night in our discussion, all of the different, the Illuminati, all of these conspiracies that exist, they'll all be exposed. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. The world seems to be in control, the rulers of this world. No, they're all being positioned for the elect to come and take over. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, because it's all of the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's our study. Thank you all for coming out. I hope that was a blessing. And I'm, let's see.